More fruit on the vine. Of course, the verse text comes from the book of John in the 15th chapter, where Jesus talks about himself as the vine, us being the branches, and we are to serve the purpose to Christ as being fruit bearers. And that's the idea, the concept, that we as individual people can be more fruit bearing or more productive for Christ during the coming year of 1979. I don't know how many of you are gardeners, but my wife is an avid gardener, and this time of the year she begins to get all of the seed catalogs from the various companies throughout the United States. And I was thumbing through one the other day and ran across some pictures of some delicious looking Alberta peaches. I love peaches. And one line in the ad caught my attention. It said, "These peach trees that we'll ship you should produce peaches the third year after planting." And I thought to myself, sure takes a long time to get some peaches off of a peach tree once you plant them. I'm the kind of fellow that deals with the matter of how many weeks will it be before I get me some peaches? But the catalog said it would be 3 years before you could have some peaches. And I thumbed through the book, and I noticed that there was one basic theme in every ad that they wanted to be sure and point out, and that was the number of days it would take until harvest. Because they probably knew all the readers were asking that same question: how long must I wait before I get my fruit, or before I get my nuts, or before I get my vegetables, or before I get my flowers? It was a flower catalog too. How long do I have to wait to get something from the vine? Today, I feel like we have a lot of folks in the church who are infatuated, rightly so, with Christ. But again, they have an infatuation, but no occupation. Infatuated with Christ, but not occupying for Christ. And God asked, "When will I begin to get me some fruit?" We have a lot of folks today who are praising the Lord, but not a lot of folks who are serving the Lord. And God asked, "Where and when will I get my fruit?" We have a lot of folks today who are raising their voices to heaven, but they have never raised their hands to the plow on the earth. And God asks, "When am I going to get me some fruit?" Now, we look good in picture form, and we sing good, and we talk good, but we don't work so good. We have a lot of blow, but not much show. We have a lot of foliage, and we have a lot of blooms, but we don't do much bearing. And the Lord is just like most folks who buy the catalog product. And He wants to know, how long will it be before I can get me some fruit? And He thumbs through His book, if I might say His catalog, and He looks at each one of us and says, "My, that is a promising plant." Now, you think of yourself as a promising person, don't you? That is, there's great ability. There's great possibility. You got a lot going for you. And so He looks at our name in the catalog of the Book of Life, and He says, that one's planted in Pasadena, Texas. That's down the way down the southern climate. But it can produce fruit. Now let's look down here. How long does that tree say it'll be before I get some fruit? How long have you and I been planted? And the Lord says, "Man, when will I get what I want from my tree? When will I get what I want?" And what I want, now we've all had the mistaken notion sometimes that all God expects of those who are planted in the family of the redeemed is that we just be occupied with Jesus. You know, that's the concept a lot of us have. Just be occupied with Jesus. No, that's not the right concept. The concept is you be occupied for Jesus. And there's a big difference. We have the concept that really all that matters with God is what you believe. No, that's not true. We need to reorganize our thinking regarding that kind of concept, because James, in the third chapter, deals with folks who think that way in the 17th and 18th verse. It reads like this: Faith without works is dead. Then he goes on to say, you claim you have faith. I want you to show me that you have the right beliefs. I don't want you to tell me. I want you to show me that you have the right beliefs. And the only way you can do that is faith must be backed up by works. Now we need to get clear in our mind this concept of what God wants. God places the same emphasis in the same place that you and I do in a seed catalog. When can I get me some fruit? I want you to notice in John the 15th chapter, I would say a farmer has an obsession with the crop. A farmer plants that he might reap. The man who plants anything desires to get from it a product beneficial to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't plant it. Now, Jesus says that God is the same way. He has an obsession with fruit. John 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the gardener, or the caretaker, or the farmer. And every branch that's attached to me that does not bear fruit, and I'm going to insert some words there, so upsets my Father that he just simply removes that branch. And every branch that's attached to me, branch implying person, believer, every believer attached to me, he purges. That is, he washes it, and he cleanses it, takes care of it. Why? That it might bear more fruit. Now, Jesus puts the concept in its right place. God is simply interested this morning not in what you and I want and what you and I need and what you and I enjoy. He is interested in fruit from us. Now, if you will also look at the book of Luke and the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 6. And Jesus spoke a parable, and he said, a certain man, that man is here pictured to be God, had a fig tree. The fig tree is the nation Israel. And the fig tree was planted in his vineyard. God claimed Israel as his nation. And God came to Israel and he sought praise. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. God came to Israel and sought belief, faith. It doesn't say that. God came to the vineyard and sought fruit, and he found none. Now he found praise. The Jews still praise God. And he found faith. They still believe the doctrines of Moses. God found faith with Israel. He found praise with Israel, but he found no fruit. And then God said to the dresser, who is God the Son, Jesus, behold, son, for 3 years, through you I have come looking for some fruit on my fig tree, and I have not found any. And he says to Jesus concerning the nation Israel, cut it down. It's taking up space in the ground. Why cumbereth, or why burden the soil with a worthless tree? I want to remind you, it was not worthless in the sense of praise. It was not worthless in the sense of right doctrine. But it was worthless in the sense of being unprofitable and unfruitful. And God said to Jesus, cut it down. Get rid of it. The praise may make it look pretty, but I don't have any benefit, so cut it down. Well, you say, man, that's severe. That's severe. You know, some time ago, I think it was the J.C.'s in Pasadena gave away some pine trees. Two of them are out here. Well, some of them were given to us, and I stuck them out there in the front yard. And I tell you honestly, folks, they haven't grown. That's been about 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember that. I bet they haven't grown 2 inches in 3 years. I look at those things and I say, you know, I don't know why I leave you out there. I guess I'm just too lazy to pull you up. I understand the roots as deep as the top and the foot deep roots pretty deep, but I can mow it off, I guess. But I keep thinking, well, maybe by some miracle, you'll begin to grow. We'd had a maple tree over there. Must be something wrong with our dirt. I don't know. But we'd had a maple tree over there for 7 years or 6 years, as long as we've been over there. And that thing hasn't done anything in 6 years. It even has the leaves come out from the bottom of the tree. That is, down at the bottom of the roots. And the top part's almost bare. I don't understand that tree. And yet there it stands. I know it's a maple tree and it doesn't have fruit. Maybe you can get some syrup out of it. I don't know. But the point is, it just doesn't do anything. And even I get upset with a worthless pine tree that won't grow. And a worthless maple tree that won't even put leaves on. But it's still alive, though, folks. You go out there and cut into it, got the sap. May still have some praise left in it. But the point is, it's just not really worth anything. I wanted some shade from it. And I'm not even getting that benefit from the tree. Now, God looks down upon this earth and he sees all of his children. And he says, I enjoy the praise. That makes you look pretty. And I enjoy your faith and your beliefs. And that really puts on the green foliage. But what I'm really interested in is fruit. And I don't see any of it. Now, folks, it's easier to put on leaves and put on blooms than it is to put on fruit. A lot easier. So we must dismiss from our mind this morning the notion that God is satisfied with only a good show and only a good blow. I'm talking here about the flowers and the blooms and the praise and the faith, the adoration. God is pleased with this, but he's not completely satisfied until he gets the fruit. I don't know in your life, and I will not judge, but let me ask you this morning, as God looks through the catalog and he runs across your name and he sees there the potential, does he ask the question, when will I ever get my fruit? Or is he asking the question, how much more fruit will I get this year than I got last year? Will it be a bumper crop? That's the question I always ask about my daddy's pecan tree. One of the best pecans I ever ate in my life. They were so soft-shelled they would fall on the concrete and crack open for you. That's no joke. And they were always full and delicious, like a little lady pecan. But we walk out every year and look up there and wonder, is this going to be the year we get a bumper crop or we get nothing? Now, you know, God, I believe, begins the year with great expectations and saying, how much more fruit? Notice Jesus said, not just fruit, but more fruit. That's what I hope this year as we begin to look into it, that we want to do is give God not just more praise and not just increase our faith and our doctrinal knowledge, but God says, I want you to also increase for me some fruit. Notice I asked you a question. How do you make God happy? How do you bring joy to God? Now, I know how to bring joy to a lot of folks. Christmas time is the way to bring joy to kids. But how do you bring joy to God? Well, look at Matthew 25:21. I'm not saying praise won't turn God on, and I'm not saying that faith won't turn God on, but I'm telling you, I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it says what brings God joy but one thing. Look at Matthew 25:21. And the Lord said, well done. That's not belief, and that's not praise. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then he goes on and says he's going to reward him, but he closes by saying, I want you now to come into my joy. What joy? Joy that he got from the fruit from that servant who did a good job. Let's analyze this verse this morning real quickly, because it shows the priority that God places on fruit. And I hope you'll come back tonight, because that'll prove to God that you're interested in being a fruit bearer. Now let's look at this text quickly. 21st verse again. Well done. Underline the word done, because it implies that you're a doer, not just a singer, not just a believer, not just a talker, but you're a doer. God doesn't have a lot of doers. The word done also implies that you're productive. You produce. You can drive around a person's house and tell if there's somebody productive in that house. We got some folks this morning in the congregation that have one of the neatest yards and neatest house always. They're productive. You can tell an unproductive from a productive person. Now, I want to say this morning that the word well done means that you have good production. What do you produce? What are you leaving behind as an inheritance in the way of what have you produced? The word well done implies you're busy. I think we don't bear a lot of fruit because we don't do anything to bear fruit. I don't know what that little pine tree out in my front yard does all day long, but I don't see how it can be making any food. I don't know what it's doing wrong or what's wrong somewhere, but somehow that little old tree, it's not doing a good job, let's put it that way. It's not a doer, it's not productive, it's not busy, there's something wrong with it. Then I want to say the word well done means a finisher and not a starter. I'd have to be one that would hang my head in shame here. Man, I tell you, I don't bear fruit because I never finish what I start. Now, you can't be a person that produces fruit unless you plan to finish. I go out in the garden and see a tomato. I can't wait till it finishes what it started. If that little old green knot stays a green knot and shrivels up, I'm very unhappy with it. Because it didn't do what I wanted to do. It should have finished by getting bigger and juicier and plumper and redder. And that's what I wanted, the finished product. And God said, a doer is a man that doesn't just start, but he finishes. Secondly, well done, thou good. The word good means beneficial, profitable. That makes it good. We do a lot of stuff that's not very profitable. And then he says, well done, thou good and faithful. Now the word faithful just simply means loyal. Now he's not just good, that is, he's not just busy. He's not just good for something that is beneficial, but he's good for God. Oh, folks, that makes the difference. A lot of us are doers and finishers, but we're only looking out for ourselves. And God said to this man, it's the fruit I want for me, not for you. We're selfish with our fruit bearing. We bear it only for ourselves. And so God is saying here, a faithful servant is one that is good for God. He does God a favor. No wonder there's joy when God has done a favor. Romans 12:1, it says, we owe God a reasonable service. And that's where I'll begin tonight with what the reasonable service is. Then go on this night and tell you some more about what I feel like we need to do as a people. God might have fruit in 1979. Father, we know the question hangs over us as the year begins. How long must I wait? God, may we answer, you don't have to wait very long at all. Because we've got some fruit in the making right now. We're going to have more fruit as the weeks and the year begins to blossom more. This year we're going to be a servant that does well, does good, and that does benefit you. We ask that this morning you inspire in our mind that your care or concern is that we be fruitful. May we not disappoint you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.